The first lesson for today is from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The second lesson for today is from the first chapter of Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to begin this message today with somewhat of a disclaimer. The Old Testament passage reminds us that God renews our strength like an eagle. Now, the Old Testament passage today was the lectionary reading. It was not one that I chose. But in reminding us that God is an eagle, that doesn't mean that I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And I do like to think that I'm a rather fair person who espouses equality, nor does that make me a New England patriot. We all like the sightings of an eagle. Last Sunday, my wife, who isn't here today because she's got the flu, otherwise she would have come with me, went to a birthday party of an elementary school friend in Minnesota. And as she turned off of the interstate in La Crosse, she saw two eagles up in a tree. Last year in May, I went with maybe 10 other people around the Whitewater area to kayak in northeastern Iowa. We had intended to go to the Ozark National Waterways, but back in that time last year, they were experiencing all kinds of severe flooding. So instead of going there, we went to northeast Iowa to paddle on the Volga and the Turkey Rivers. And we weren't down those rivers very long until we started seeing eagle after eagle after eagle. In a space of a short while, we saw over 25 different eagles. Some years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity of visiting on a cruise to Alaska, the island of Haines. You may know that Haines, Alaska, was the place where there was the first military settlement, and it was also a place where Sheldon Jackson, the Presbyterian missionary, did missionary work among the Indians. As we came into the harbor of Haines, it was as though on every pillar there was an eagle. There we went to an interpretive center where the docent taught us a lot about eagles. One of the things he taught us is that there is a ritual mating rite in which a male and female eagle will lock their talons together, and then from a great height they will free fall. And you think they're going to crash into the earth, but at the very last moment, they break from one another and they swoop back up into the air. What a rush, being twisted together like that in a free fall. But what is so interesting about that metaphor is the Hebrew word wait, they who wait upon the Lord, means to be twisted together. I have a wedding ring that I'm proud to wear, in which I've been wearing this now for almost 40 years. There's two strands of gold that are twisted together into a circle. They who wait, they who are, as it were, twisted up, united, if you will, with the Lord. I know that some of you after the service today may attend the C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity class. And you may remember that one of the great metaphors in that book is that C.S. Lewis sees us all before we encounter the Christ as tin men and women. And then the Spirit of Christ infuses us in such a way that we become living persons. And they who wait upon the Lord, the text says, shall renew their strength, because sometimes we don't feel very strong. Instead, we feel weak and faint. And we don't have the breath or the stamina to exercise at all. And yet, how God finds us and how God provides for us, He does so in all of the stages of life. When we're growing up, when we're parenting, and when we're empty nesters, the golden years of retirement. Someone has said that there are six stages of life. And interestingly, they all rhyme. Spills, drills, thrills, bills, pills, and wills. But the neat thing about all of those stages of life is that God finds us, God provides for us, and God winks on us. I had the wonderful opportunity in my ministry to serve two churches in the Hilton Head Island, Bluffton areas of South Carolina. In the first church, there was a fellow who had been an executive communicator in the city of New York City. And most of the people who attend those churches down there are retirees. They come from all the big steeple churches along the eastern seaboard and have one thing in common, and that is that they all have sufficient income to enjoy that kind of a retirement. Wade was a man of God. We had a friend of ours who was in a minimum federal penitentiary, and once, maybe every 4, 5, 6 weeks or so, he would give me a call and he would say, "Jerry, it's time for us to make that visit again." And so I would meet them. I would always drive because he had vision problems. He would always pay for breakfast along the way. But he was fond of talking about God winks. A God wink, he would say, is that experience you have when, sort of out of the blue, we say often, "Well, that's a coincidence." But people of faith know that there are only providences and or God winks. And then as we would visit back and forth, and Estill, where the prison was probably 70 miles up the road or so, we would talk about this, that, and the next thing. And invariably, he would share with me some of his God winks. Now, I want to try to bring together some lessons from the ego, as well as how they relate to various stages of our life. So, judging from you, I would say that most of you are in the golden years, in retirement. Some of you are probably parenting. But irregardless of where you are in life and or who you are, God winks on you. Do you know that the eagle is the only bird that can fly directly into the sun? You see, it has this little optic lid that enables it to experience the beauty and the brilliance of the sun. And we have in our lives those special exhilarations. 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, I hiked with the other Ice Age Trail hikers, and it was one of those mornings, a great deal like this morning, in which the snow is flocked on the trees. And when the sun hits it, it's just brilliant. I remember the time my wife and I had a helicopter ride on Mount McKinley in Alaska. It's a beautiful, bright, beautiful, sunny day. You couldn't ask for a beautiful, more beautiful day. And in that helicopter, when we saw the fields of white beneath us, it was as though we were in the presence of God. It was a God wink. And then some years later, when we were in an open helicopter enjoying the beautiful sights of Kauai, of Hawaii, to see the beauty there was just staggering, and it was brilliant. It seems as though God often winks to us as we experience the wonders of nature. Who was it who said that nature is God's psychiatrist? Because so often when we are in nature, we just marvel at the beauty. I have as my personal rule of life to every day to observe something beautiful. Who was it who said that maturity is really the ability to see something that you see every day, and yet in seeing it again, you're just amazed with how amazing and brilliant it is? The mother eagle is also the kind of bird who does not foster dependence upon her young. She'll take them out to a precipice and then push them over so that they test their wings for flight. And then she flies beneath them to kind of undergird them. And what a God wink that is in our lives when we face crucial obligations. Sometimes all that is to be well. And yet, if you have been diagnosed with a C word, if you have ever dealt with cancer in your life, you know how scary it can be, and you do your best, you change your exercises, your routines, and your diet, and you take advantage of every medical procedure there is, and you put your faith in God. And when there are all kinds of pleasant surprises, you know that God winks on you. Who of us hasn't faced trying times in our families and or in our marriages? Life in our families do not always go as we wish, nor in our marriages. After all, there's no perfect marriage between two imperfect people. And yet to be able to persevere and to enjoy and to be able to face the next day with hope is to experience a God wink. As I said, the mother eagle does not foster dependency in her eaglets. There comes a time when she backs off and knows that they have to be and they need to fly independently. And I like to think that's often the way it is in our daily routines. Often in our daily routines, in routine kinds of ways, we see and experience God winks. It may be when we say grace before a meal, or when we say our prayers, the last thing we do before we sleep, or just in our daily walks. If possible, I try to take a walk every day. The other day, I was going for a walk in my neighborhood, and I came to an end of a street, cul-de-sac street. I saw, to my amazement, beside the road, there were these two oak highboy swivel captain chairs. And one of my hobbies, which I've had now for about 40-some years, is to refinish furniture. And when I looked at these chairs, I knew why they were standing at the end of the curb. But what they didn't know is that I saw them through the eyes of a refinisher. And to see chairs like that, so sturdy with so much potential, was a God wink. I don't know about your driveway and sidewalk this morning, but mine were covered with snow. And I have an arrangement with my neighbor across the way that he does my yard, and I tried to send him a text last night, but I wanted to share with him that I had to leave sort of early in the morning, and I had wished that he would be able to have cleaned out my driveway before 8 o'clock today. Well, he didn't respond to my text. So I thought, oh, well, I'll call him. His number had been disconnected. So I thought, I'm unable to reach him. So this morning, I thought, well, maybe I'm going to have to go out with a shovel, or sometimes I use my leaf blower if there's not too much snow. At around 7:30, I heard the sound of a snow thrower, and my neighbor had cleared my driveway. I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to be concerned about it because I had experienced a God wink. Do you have God winks in your life? In sort of summary here, let me just say three last things about an eagle. In your mind's eye, I want you to see an eagle sitting in a tree. Often when I'm kayaking down a river, and the rivers of Wisconsin are so beautiful to kayak on, I see as though it were a little white golf ball sitting in a tree up far ahead. And then as I get closer, I know that the white of the golf ball is really the head of an eagle. And I have paddled right underneath where they have been sitting, and I have seen them in their lift and then in their thrust and then in their grace. Living united with God, being not a tin man but a living man, experiencing how God shines through in my life in his God winks. It is often the lift that I need. It gives me the thrust I desire. And it gives me the grace that only he can provide.